You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
So relaxed tonight. So relaxed tonight, this Saturday evening, August the 6th. This is the first show that I can remember in months where I didn't have more than I could fit into the program on my plate. In other words, for every show that I've done for the past several months, there's always stories that I absolutely positively intended on getting to and had hoped that I would get to that we just didn't have time for. Tonight, I feel as though it's a little more laid back, relaxed, and freewheeling. And it's nice to have a show like that because I can guarantee you now that these conventions are over, we have a little pause here, even though we've been in the news a lot this last week. Overall, ultimately, still a little pause. Not a lot of guests on the show tonight. Not a lot of different subject matter that we need to get into. And this may be the last show in a while where we can say that because it's really going to get to be quite tumultuous on the campaign trail, even more than it has been already. And we'll be there to break it down the best we can every week here on the Political Cesspool. I do want to share with you one thing before we get to our featured guest of the evening. I want to clarify what I said in the last segment, right as we were running out of time, that we have to stick it to the media. Well, we certainly do, but that's not what my lawsuit is about. My lawsuit is not a publicity stunt. It's not a stunt to try to grandstand or show off or be frivolous. I think that we have a very solid case with a lot of case precedent behind us, and I think it's very important. For me, why am I doing it? Why am I choosing this battle to fight when we're fighting battles on many other fronts simultaneously? Again, it comes down to being a man. A man defends his name because my name is not just my name. My name is also the name of my father and my grandfathers and the people who came before them. And so do you want to get to a point in this country where the press is able to say anything at all that they want without any fear of reprisal or justice? And I don't think that they can write that I am a leader of the Ku Klux Klan and not be held accountable for that. If that's not libel, and what I'm alleging is that that was presented as a statement of fact, which I think if you read it, you'll come to that conclusion as well. If you're not familiar with this case, we've posted some stuff about it on the website back in June. But nevertheless, I want to be very clear. We're not doing this to try to drive home a point. We're doing it because if a man doesn't stand up to defend his name and his family name and his honor and his integrity, then he's just not a man. And it's not a battle I want to fight. It's expensive. It's something that I'd rather not be focusing on. But it was presented to me. It happened. And so I feel as though we have to answer that. And so that's what we're doing. And if we win, God willing, if we win, hopefully it will cause the media to pause before they libel and slander the next political dissident. And hopefully it can be a precedent-setting thing that brings a little more clarity to what is opinion and what is fact and how the media is able to present that. Anyway, Sam Bushman, my good friend, my dear friend, my brother, the owner of Liberty News Radio Network, the host of the Liberty Roundtable show, a Monday through Friday daily. You can catch it at libertyroundtable.com. When Sam and I and his co-host Kurt Crosby and our associate Matt the Copperhead, we were all up in Cleveland together. Sam gave me the honor of being able to sit in with him as a guest on three of the five shows that the Liberty Roundtable aired while we were up in Cleveland together at the RNC. And Sam has not yet returned to the political cesspool since Cleveland until now. Sam, we've been through a lot together in the last few weeks, and it seems as though it's heating up around us all the time. How are you,
boy,
brother?
Howdy, ain't that the truth, my brother. Anyway, you would have been on all five of the shows, but you weren't in town the first day, and then the last day, you were taken off in the car. And I think we had you on four out of the five, didn't we?
Well, I did call in on that last day from the road. Yeah. I left a little bit earlier than y'all. But whatever the case, it was great to be on with you and great to be able to share that experience. And I know we covered it in the first show since Cleveland. We spent the whole 3 hours covering it. That was your first day back in Utah, as it turned out. But we've got that. We've got all of these stories that you...
The press likes to beat me up for having you on, too. And what I like to do is have you on all 5 days and just put it in their face is what I like to do.
Well, we had some good shows, and you had a great cross-section of guests, and I think I made mention of that very clearly in that show that I did, my first show back home from Cleveland here on the Political Cesspool. But we've had that. We've had a lot of stories that have featured you as well, of course. And then we have all of the things that we've been talking about tonight. And that's really, I mean, Sam, let's just have this be an open-ended conversation this hour. Whatever we get into, we get into. I have no formal agenda, but I would like to ask you your opinion because you have the phenomenal presentation, He Who Owns the Media Makes the Rules. And I know the people who were at our 10-year anniversary celebration for the Political Cesspool in Memphis back in 2014 saw this presentation, and we've given it out as incentives to fundraisers in the past, but it's something everyone should see because you break down how the media works better than anyone I've ever seen. And so with you having all of that foresight and you being in radio even longer than me and having owned radio stations and networks, et cetera, you would be an expert on this. More so than I, the way the media is treating Donald Trump with regard to this phony controversy that he may drop out, or what if he drops out, what would they do? It's like, have you stopped beating your wife yet, Donald? I mean, if you drop out, what are the Republicans going to do if on September 1st you drop out? How that became the date, who knows? But the media treatment of this campaign, what are your off-the-cuff observations?
All right, I'm going to answer it several ways. And the first way that I'm going to answer it is Donald, in the early part of his campaign, would not have tolerated that for a second. And I see a sea change since he's got all these high-tech and whatever political advisor, insider people advising him now. He's holding his tongue a lot more. Now, they would say that he's not because they're trying to barbecue him on statements that are absolutely false in terms of the intent. They're still beating him up pretty good, but he's holding his tongue. What he should do, in my opinion, is he should just come out and hear and say this. You know what? I hear Fox is closing their doors. You know, I'm telling you right now, they had a sex scandal over there, and I hear they're closing their doors. Megan, I'm going to be starting a new media service. You might want to make up and jump aboard, just saying. Donald needs to start taking off the gloves like that. He needs to start saying CNN, you know, is the Clinton network, and Fox has melted down. So since we don't have a network now, we're going to have to turn to the new media taking center stage. And since he who owns the media makes the rules, the new media taking center stage, I'm going to start going to my friends in the media, my people who, even if they're not going to vote for me yet, I'm going to be polite to them. I'm going to work with them. They at least give me a fair shake. And I'm going to be gracing their radio stations, their broadcasts, their TV presentations, etc. And I'm telling you right now, we're not going to be talking to the Clinton network anymore. And since Fox has melted down in their yesteryear and they're gone due to sex scandals, you know, Hillary and Fox are all involved in sex scandals, so much so that I just have to get on with the business of the country. And therefore, me and the new media are taking center stage. It's a new Republican Party. It's a new media. And we're going to get this done, ladies and gentlemen. If he really took off the gloves, and I've been making this point all week long on my broadcast, if they really had Donald take off the gloves, just imagine what it could be. We'll talk about that more, James, but that's my initial first answer.
All right, when we come back, much more Sam Bushman, the spotlight on Sam when we come back, and for the remaining three segments, you're going to be in for a treat. Thanks to our guest this evening. Stay tuned, folks.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your Fountain of Youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang. Call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, folks, we're going to get back on to these too much to cover programs that you've become accustomed to here on the Political Cesspool in the weeks to come, all the way through Election Day. And then once this election is mercifully over, I really look forward to getting into the November and December months where we play all that good Christmas music again. I'm so looking forward to that coming up not too far from now. But let's see if we can make America great again before we get to Christmas. But talking to Sam Bushman tonight, a man that I have just grown to love dearly, and a man with whom we are in the trenches every day together. Sam, talking about the media in the last segment, obviously you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah,
do you buy
become,
in?
They have become so desperate, James, with their attacks on Donald Trump, that I want to make this point because I
ahead.
Think this is critical. In this whole election season, amazingly enough, in this whole election season, the Political Cesspool radio program has literally been at ground zero when it comes to the attack of Donald Trump. It started primarily, I mean, they attacked him before, but not like they're trying to now. And the main attack went, hey, Donald Jr. had an interview with James and Sam, and James and Sam, as you know, are extreme white supremacist racists. That's how their lie goes. And therefore, Donald Jr. is, and therefore the Trump campaign really disavows racists because the media expects them to, but they really love the racists. And there's really kind of a quid pro quo deal behind the scenes with David Duke and James Edwards and Sam Bushman and Donald Trump. And all right, now, I wrote in my open letter when we got disavowed the first time by Junior. I think Junior's just, he didn't mean to, but he was ignorant. He did it. He shouldn't have. But I wrote in my open letter then, James, and I want to refer to this. I'm not a prophet, okay? And I don't claim to be. But I am a pretty good tea leaf reader. And I am a pretty good guy that understands politics quite well. And I'm telling you, the reality is, I said, Donald, if you do not take on the mainstream press squarely, I'm telling you, offense, baby, you will absolutely lose your election over this. And this is whether James is a racist, whether Sam's a racist, whether Donald's a racist. That's just ground zero in the discussion, because here's the deal. Is Sam who he says he is, Or is Sam a racist because it's who they say he is, meaning the mainstream press, the clown media? Okay, who is Sam? Is it who Sam says he is? And who Sam's friends say he is? And who Sam's family say he is? And the truth about who he is based on reality? Or is it who the clown media says Sam is? Same with James or Donald. And that's why I tell you, if you lose that battle, if you capitulate to their whims, to their lies, to their satanic deceptions, you will absolutely lose the ballgame. Because at first it's, well, Donald Jr. shouldn't have had an interview with the racists. And then it's, well, Don Jr.'s kind of a racist. And then it's, Donald Trump is making a deal with the racists. And then it's, and it doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether it's racism, whether it's Donald's white and the Hispanics hate him because he wants to create a border. Hillary wanted to create a border on the fence, too. I mean, a fence on the border, too. I got a soundbite to prove it, which we can play later if you want, James. I'll have to cue it up on a break. But I bring this all up to say they're not beating her up over that. This double standard has got to go. Donald's claiming that no more Mr. Nice Guy. And by the way, on my show, we played No More Mr. Nice Guy. we played that song. And Donald basically says, no more Mr. Nice Guy, I'm taking off the gloves. But I haven't seen it yet. What Donald needs to do, we just got an email where Donald said, hey, if you pay $3, you can enter into the sweepstakes. And then if you win, then you can come and eat lunch with Donald Jr. or whatever. Or I'm sorry, one of the others, I guess Eric Trump in this case, so the other son of Donald. And you can come eat lunch with me, and I want to hear what you say about the campaign and what we're doing. And look, Donald needs to invite Sam Bushman and James Edwards to the Trump Tower and sit down with us and talk about how he can change this game. And the answer is you go on the offensive. The answer is you start appearing at your campaign rallies with Sam Bushman and James Edwards, and you clearly articulate this is not a racial issue. Okay, when it comes to building a fence on the border, this is a legal versus illegal issue. We stand against illegal activity every time, every place, everywhere. Why? Because Donald is the law and order guy. Why? Because illegality, if we allow that to stand, we have no laws, we have no country. What stops one illegality versus another illegality? See, so we support legal activity. We reject illegal activity. This is not a black-white issue. But this is an issue where everybody should be able to celebrate their heritage. Okay? I don't care what color, what race, what heritage you have. You should be proud of your heritage, willing to celebrate it. You should be willing to obey the laws and have legal behavior, including government officials. And so Donald needs to absolutely go on the offensive. How is he treated? Horribly, but I submit to you that it's all surface. Okay? Because if we really want to take off the gloves, if Donald's going to really take off the gloves on Hillary, then he needs to say we need a DNA test to find out who Chelsea really is. Is she Bill's daughter or is she Webb Hubble's daughter? Okay, we need to take off the gloves, and Donald Trump needs to team up with Joe Arpaio and say, is Barack Obama really the son of a foreigner? Was he really born in Hawaii? Or is he really an American citizen and his father was Frank Marshall Davis, the well-known communist that was tracked by the FBI for decades? Who is Donald Trump? I'm sorry, who is a Barack Obama? And if Donald Trump starts to ask these real questions, if Donald Trump really takes off the gloves, we may get somewhere. But what Donald does not understand is he could pretend to play rough ball and make fun of Megan, say somebody else is an ugly chick, whatever he wants. But that's just surface stuff. And if we're really going to take off the gloves, let's really see who's who. Let's really burn the barn down, pardon the phrase. Let's find out, James. And I'm telling you, if Donald does not do that, he has played a game with these people that he will lose, because they will absolutely use every trick in the book and they will win. They will win no matter what Donald thinks, believes, no matter who he is, because they've found his weakness. They will continue to attack that weakness. It's like if you're on the basketball floor and I know you can't go to the left. I'll just exploit that until you lose. That's all. And I know it sounds simple, but it is that simple, James.
Well, Sam, you said a lot of interesting things there, and I was taking notes because I wanted to double back on a couple of them. Number one, Donald Trump is literally battling billions, maybe trillions of dollars worth of negative media. I mean, because every outlet that there is.
But how many millions of coverage did you and I, the two little teeny guys, one from Tennessee, one from Utah, how many millions did we get him in incredible coverage?
Well, I guess incredible is a matter of perspective, but certainly
just
a whole heck of a lot.
Just imagine if you let us appear with him on the campaign stage. What would happen?
Well, this is it. This is what you're getting at. So basically, his advisors in the GOP, now that he's the nominee, he's been inundated with the ubiquitous talking heads. And they're saying he's got to pivot from the Donald Trump we saw in the primary that was so effective, that galvanized his base like none other. And he's still getting crowds that make Hillary's look like nothing. But they're saying he's got to pivot from that Donald Trump, the one that was successful, the one that blew away 16 other seasoned Republican operatives, that he's got to pivot from that and become this more Republican, more establishment Donald Trump. And you can see, I think you can actually see it, Sam, on the campaign trail, the Jekyll and Hyde battle in Trump's soul from the Trump that he wants to be and the Trump that he is versus the watered-down Trump that the establishment wants him to be. And I think you saw it perfectly with the Paul Ryan, John McCain, Kelly Ayotte endorsement. You could tell that he did not want to issue that endorsement for reasons that are very simple. They don't agree with him on the issues. They represent everything that he is coming in to change. But
there's
yet
no,
in that
no
camp-
question about that, and I would say this though, Donald needs to pivot away from saying a chick's ugly or somebody's wife is ugly, or because those statements just aren't helpful. They make you look kind of foolish. They make you look kind of childish, teenagerish, if you will. He needs to pivot away from those kinds of loose lip things that do not help. They sink ships and they're not valuable. But he needs to stick on the core issues. Even if Sam and James are racist, shouldn't we open a dialogue? For instance. Now, I'm not saying we're racist. I'm just saying no matter what, he needs to learn to stand on principle, sir. We'll talk about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Colorado Republican Congressman Mike Kaufman, who like many other incumbent Republicans faces a challenging re-election battle, has produced a campaign ad in which he distances himself from both major party presidential candidates, promising instead that he will put the country first. "People ask me, what do you think about Trump?" Kaufman states at the beginning of the ad. "Honestly, I don't care for him much, and I certainly don't trust Hillary. I'm a Marine," continues the Iraq combat veteran. "For me, country comes first. My duty is always to you. So, if Donald Trump is the president, I'll stand up to him, plain and simple. And if Hillary wins, I'll hold her accountable every step of the way." You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. Kentucky residents Keith Hardin and Jeffrey Clark were wrongfully convicted of murder in 1995 and have had 20 years of their lives stolen from them by the state. Circuit Judge Bruce Butler, who overturned their conviction last month on the basis of DNA findings and evidence that the chief investigating officer lied in court, declined on August 4th to set bond and release the victims from prison, insisting that this is an unusual case and that he wants to be fair to both the state and the defendants. "The entity called the state doesn't have a finite lifespan, so it cannot feel the loss of two decades of wrongful imprisonment, nor does the state have long-suffering family members like those who were gathered in the Brandenburg, Kentucky courtroom and were crushed by the news that the innocent men would see their unjust incarceration extended by at least two more weeks. The prosecution, which fought unsuccessfully to prevent the DNA testing of hair samples that ultimately overturned the conviction, is still fighting to keep the victims in prison."
For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, Sam, you came into my ear during one of the segments in the first hour. Keith Alexander and I were talking about the fact that, and this isn't just an opinion, this is obvious and very obvious at that, anything Trump says or does, no matter what it is, completely negative spin put on it, negative doesn't even begin to cover it. It's just horrific the way the media offers its treatment to anything Trump says or does. In the meantime, Hillary Clinton, it's solid gold all the time. She does no wrong. She says no wrong. I mean, is this the free press as we understand a free press to be? Obviously, that's a rhetorical question, but you popped in to say there's a good reason it sounds as though they're speaking with one voice, and obviously it's because that they are, and more than that, it's all by design.
Yeah, you know, they get talking memos. We know this to be true. We know they have the plunge protection team in the stock market. If the stock market goes up, they let it just unfettered raise. Whenever it drops a little bit, they have a plunge protection team that stops it. That's no secret for those who are in the financial world now. The same thing's true in the media. You know, they have a talking point agenda. And that's the reason that they speak the same language. They use the same words. And I highlight that in my He Who Owns the Media presentation, where George Bush was considered gracious by everybody in the media. And believe it or not, Rush Limbaugh played this montage where he had all these media guys go, "Oh, the Bushes are just gracious people." And they used these words. And at the end, he even jumped on their bandwagon and said, "The Bushes are gracious," proving he has to say that to be in. If he doesn't, then at some point he will start to be out. You've got to go along. And they don't literally have back rooms, smoky rooms where they, "You better go along." They don't do that. But it's unsaid. It's an unspoken rule. I wouldn't call the Bushes gracious. I'd call them thugs, okay? But all I'm telling you is that even Rush Limbaugh, at the end, after he mocked them, betrayed himself and said the same word. So they have these talking points. It's clear to see. The stories on You and I are another positive proof. James, you and I literally see some of the stories from the, at first it's the clown media that are running around trying to make these points. But then what you see is phrases and words and whole sentences and whole paragraphs. And sometimes even the complete story are just parroted by the next group of people. It started with Media Matters one time. And next thing you know, they all had the same story.
This is it. So what Sam's talking about is Media Matters. Media Matters actually listed us as one of the top 25 most influential, they phrased it, right-wing media fixtures. But we were listed right there, along with Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, Ann Coulter, Sean Hannity, as being responsible for Trump's nomination. So we'll take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, but they Media pretend Matters, we're nobody when they want to, but then they admit we're all important when they're forced to, right?
That's, well, it just depends on whatever the story is and how we can fit into their narrative. But normally it's we're bad and they're righteous, and anybody who talks to us by extension is bad. But the thing with what Sam's mentioning here, and this goes back to the whole Donald Trump Jr. flap in March, the whole pro-slavery lie. Well, Media Matters came up with the pro-slavery lie, and then it had never, in 12 years, never had it been asserted. Racist, yes. Bigot, yes. Xenophobe, yes. All of this other stuff. This outlandish, ludicrous stuff, yes, yes, yes. But never before had there ever been even one outlet that wrote that we were a pro-slavery show. Well, Media Matters wrote it in response to our attendance at the Trump rally in Memphis back in February and the subsequent interview with Trump Jr. on March 1st. And then every single outlet, either in the headline or in the body of the story, were writing that Donald Trump Jr. appeared on a pro-slavery radio show. So that's just one instance that
and
we
the funny
have
thing
personal
is they are
information
calling you pro-slavery,
on.
But it was my talk show. And I mean, I've never been pro-slavery either. And see, that's how they go. And now they're starting to use the next phrase. They never said my show, the Liberty Roundtable radio show, was a white supremacist show. They never said that because it isn't true. Nevertheless, now they're even saying Liberty Roundtable is white supremacist because that's their talking point.
When it comes down, it comes down. And facts are, of course, irrelevant. But I would ask you this, getting back on to the media. These polls, now this is a little bit of a shift of gear, but these polls, the new polls that have come out, Katie Tour, little Katie, who we've talked about, who we met in Memphis and was very nice to us, she said at a rally in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, the crowd for Trump was so loud, and she said that this not being sensational, not trying to use hyperbole, she said it rattled her skull and that her skull was still trembling even after the end of the event. And she meant that quite literally. She said in all of her time in politics, there had never been a crowd that loud. And this is what Trump is bringing. And this was just this week. And we talked earlier in the show about his crowds are just dwarfing Clinton's at every turn. Do you believe that he's down 10 points? Number one.
Not
and
even
number
maybe.
Two, if whether he is or isn't, what is he going to have to do in order to galvanize his base? I think certainly, well, his base is galvanized. Okay, don't get me wrong there. I mean, certainly, I think we're just proving that it's galvanized when you talk about the not just the attendance in the crowds, but the tenacity of the crowds. But certainly, I think what the media is trying to do here is to say, well, Trump's going to lose anyway. You might as well stay at home. It's getting out of hand. You might as well just go home, kids, because this show's over. What is Trump going to have to do, in your opinion, and you've already been hinting at this, Sam, what, in your opinion, does Trump need to do between now and Election Day to ensure that either the polls shift, if they're going to be honest about the what's going on in the polls, or at the very least to make sure that he gets every vote out that's his and he does his best to position himself to assume the office of
the
presidency?
All right, he needs to return to his foreign, or I'm sorry, his yesterday, view of how to deal with the media. He needs to absolutely take off the gloves and get scrappy. He needs to challenge them on every point. This lie that he needs to be an inside Republican to get along. Look, the people don't want an inside Republican, okay? That's why Trump's so popular. That's why he absolutely vanquished 16 other foes. And that's why he was doing well against Hillary even until at least they claim recently. I think they're lying. I think the people like Trump. I think people have a little bit of concern about what Trump might do, but he needs to pivot and not like the mainstream press and or the inside political hacks that the Republican Party want you to pivot, which means do nothing and become one of them and sell your soul to whatever. What needs to be done is Donald needs to pivot in the sense that he takes on the mainstream press, but in credible ways. So you don't call the next pretty girl, the news babe, a slut, or you don't tell her she's ugly or any of that kind of stuff because it's just clown stuff. It's not valuable. But what you do is you highlight literally what's going on in the country. Do you realize that Barack Obama absolutely committed illegal activity that is literally treasonous right now? You probably don't know about the story unless you've been watching it closely. I talked about it on my show, though. The Justice Department basically said, don't do this, Barack. It's absolutely patent illegal. But Barack did it anyway. He transferred $400 million in literal cash via unmarked plane to Iran. He literally funded the terrorists. On the same day, they released some people that they were holding. And he basically could not send it literally straight to Iran because it's illegal to send money to Iran. So he sent it to Switzerland in American cash. They turned it into a currency swap to a different currency, and they sent it to Iran. He did that to circumvent the law. It's absolutely criminal. It's absolutely treasonous. Even the Justice Department told him not to do it, and he did it anyway. And it was supposedly to release some prisoners, but now he's denying it was to release prisoners. He was just saying, well, we needed to give them this money because we owed it to them based on something back in yesteryear or something. It's all a lie. And I'm telling you, if Donald Trump can't take off the gloves and point directly to treason with the email scandals of Hillary and the blatant disregard for the rule of law and sending cash to terrorists, there's nothing more important, nothing more pivotal than that when it comes to a national security issue. You don't have to tell somebody they're ugly. You don't have to tell somebody they have small hands. You don't have to say little Marco. You don't have to do clown stuff like you're in high school. But you've got to do substantive national security stuff. And if you do it matter-of-factly, if you do it in a dignified way, if you do it from a professional standpoint, and you then surround yourself with experts that can testify to this reality about breaking the law, about funding terrorism, and you can point to facts, pretty soon now you're looking presidential and you've actually taken off the gloves. If Donald does that, and he does not back away from people like Sam Bushman, okay, I've passed gazillion FBI background checks. I had a blessing from the FBI and from the Secret Service and everybody else to go to the Republican convention. I'm clean as can be, and they know it. If he can stand up for the average American, such as Sam Bushman, the tiny guy, and if he can stand up for national security, and if he can take off the gloves and deliver in a dignified way, I'm telling you, I'll give him more advice that'll be sound and stable than any Republican advisor he's got. If he does that, he will win. If he doesn't, he will lose. I promise you, James, that's the case.
We're coming on break, so yes or no answer. Should he have endorsed Ryan and McCain?
Not a chance on this planet. Foolish mistake.
We'll be right back. One last segment tonight, and then we'll count down the days until we're together again next Saturday. Stay tuned, folks. We'll wrap it up right after this.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, last segment of this evening's live broadcast. So thankful that you've been with us, ladies and gentlemen. But, of course, we can't let Sam Bushman just offer a yes or a no to such an interesting question. And Sam and I were talking during the commercial break, and he has a lot more to add to that question of should or Trump or should Trump have not endorsed Paul Ryan and John McCain and their contested primaries, which seemed to be quite competitive. And, you know, the thing about it is Trump did not come into this party to be a Republican. He came to, as I see it, destroy the existing neoconservative Republican Party as we knew it and give us a populist, nationalist, America First party that is certainly named the Republican Party, but basically reform it or attempt to change it into his image, which is an image of the base of the Republican Party. That's the thing. There's been such a disconnect between the Republican Party and its leaders, its sociopathic leaders like Paul Ryan and John McCain. That part of the party is so disconnected from the people who actually put them into office, the grassroots, especially here in the South, the working class, middle class Southerners who are voting Republican. They couldn't have less in common with McCain and Ryan. And so you could tell it was an insincere endorsement, at least I thought. I don't think Trump wanted to do it. Now, that's just me, my opinion. But you say he absolutely should not have done it, Sam, and why exactly?
He should not have done it because he was brought in, as you wisely say, to say we're going to reject the political insiders from all parties. This isn't about party. This is about the people. This is about jobs. This is about America First. This is not about sell your soul out for political gain and prosperity or whatever else. And Donald did really well at that at the start of his campaign, and the American people just absolutely loved it. And I understand they always claim you got to pivot back to the center when you're going out of your own partisan battles and into a, quote, general election battle. That's what they always claim. But I disagree. I don't think that the Donald should have had Mike Pence as his running mate. I don't think Donald should be backing McCain and or Paul Ryan in any way. I think he should have picked an absolute outsider like a Buchanan. If you want to go softer, maybe a Ben Carson. You know, you could have picked a lot of different people, but you should have picked an outsider to say, listen, our goal is to destroy the Republican Party because it's become an absolute corrupt left wing of the Democratic Party. We're not doing that anymore. It isn't about the lie of the left right wing paradigm. We are going to take America back with America First. Now, Donald did keep hands off during the Republican convention, and we hear that they have the best Republican platform ever, I'm going to say it again, ever written, and it's got the strongest pro-life plank. I don't like that word plank because it makes me think of Communist Manifesto. Nevertheless, the most pro-life pros ever written in the Republican platform now. And what Donald needs to do is keep his outsider status, not attack individuals, but deal with policy. And he needs to clearly look presidential by sticking with the platform, sticking with the Christians, sticking with the outsiders that simply say, look, Paul Ryan has single-handedly shut down almost every initiative the constitutional Republicans, the Tea Party Republicans, whatever word you want to use. Paul Ryan is virtually single-handedly, and the thug before him the same, has literally shut down every initiative that Donald, you, I, every other conservative Christian would stand for. He's been with the Democrats all along. He's given Barack virtually everything he's wanted. He's backpedaled, capitulated, melted down to the point where everybody wanted to remove Paul Ryan. And if Donald would have said, I'll never endorse you, you are the insider. You are the rejection of everything we hold dear. It is America First now. We're simply gonna take the reins from you, my friend. It's time for you clowns in the media to sit down. It's time for the people to be unified once again, based on principle. Look at the platform we've written. Look at the most pro-life plank ever written in the Republican Party. We're taking America back, folks, and we're doing it seriously. We're doing it presidential-like, but we're not going to accept their lies. If Donald would do that, I'm submitting to you, he would win. The Christians would absolutely come out in droves. The white vote, and I'm not afraid to say it, would come out in droves, and he would win. He would absolutely win.
Well, and this is the thing. Planks and platform positions are all well and good, but it's completely pointless and meaningless. I don't care what I could write the Republican Party platform. And unless you have people in office that are going to advance it, it doesn't matter what they write. And I don't think, in fact, I know people like Paul Ryan and John McCain couldn't care less about social issues, to be sure, but they couldn't care less either about securing the border or any of these other things that have got us excited about Trump. And so
and that's why I say he should never endorse them. He should use that. And policy and the platform and reality about what the American people care about, national security and everything else, to show why he will not support them. It's not about them. They might be a nice guy to sit by at church. They might be a nice guy to go out to lunch with, but they absolutely stand against what we the people stand for. I cannot endorse them because they do not embody what we are trying to accomplish here. They need to step aside and go golfing. They can go hang out with Bill Clinton and go golfing while we get the job done for America. Let's make America great again. And, you know, he needs to do that. But when he endorses Paul Ryan, John McCain, picks Mike Pence, a sitting governor, pretty nice guy, but been there forever. When he starts to surround himself with all these insiders, it's harder and harder and harder for guys like you and I to believe he really stands for the change he claims to. And so that's the problem. At what point will he surround himself with who? And then once he's in office, let's say he does win, he's going to do what the people surrounding him want him to do. He just
well,
is.
I mean, that it stands to reason based upon decisions like this, the whole endorsement. People would say, well, he needs the party to rally behind him, but I don't think that these cucks up there are going to rally behind him because they lose their positions, they lose their income if the positions that Trump wants the Republican Party to take are actually taken by the Republican Party. In fact, the guy that he endorsed, Paul Ryan, the guy that's running against Paul Ryan, is a guy that's very much like Trump on the issues, Paul Nehlen. Who I don't know, I haven't seen any poll numbers up there in that particular race. I don't know how competitive it is and if Ryan would have won with or without Trump's endorsement or if Trump had endorsed the other guy or whatever. But I do know that Nehlen, his platform is almost a mirror image of Trump. So that would have been the one that Trump should have endorsed if you're just going off of ideological concerns. But a new poll just came out today that said 70% of Republican insiders want Trump to drop out now. Still, to this day, the party insiders are not behind him. So I don't know if acquiescing to the elitists are going to get the...
Keith has said this forever. If you do business with a snake, you're going to get bit. If you do business with the enemy, it's not going to go well. And capitulating to these thugs, although they'll take, attack you and take you down, you'll never win doing that. It's a guaranteed loss. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, and it's, of course, not these elitists that are going to be coming out and voting for Trump. And you get back to bringing out the white vote. Honestly, that's what he has to do because he can get a few marginal votes from the minorities, and listen, it'd be great if all the minorities would come and vote for who's going to put America first, but it just doesn't seem, based upon what we know to be true in these trends in past election cycles, that that's going to be the case. But as Dick Morris himself said, Dick Morris, hardly a staunch conservative, even though he's apparently left the Clinton administration from yesteryear and has wandered into regular slots on Fox News, but even he said, listen, it's clear the data shows Mitt Romney could have easily beaten Obama if he got a higher percentage of the white vote. If you're going to get a higher percentage of the white vote, you need to be doing the things that Donald Trump has done all along to win the nomination, and playing games with the establishment is just going to keep them at home. The reasons whites didn't turn out for Romney was because they didn't trust the Republican Party, specifically under Romney's presidency, to do anything of substance for them, so they just let the chips fall where they may. They don't want another party insider. They've rejected the Republican Party insiders, and the Republicans are doing everything they can to try to get a bigger percentage of the minority vote. It just seems as though it'd be easier, as Pat Buchanan himself said, to go hunting where the ducks are. For the Republican Party, the ducks are the white voters. You go hunting where they are, you can win. And anyway, listen, this is a mistake. It was one mistake. We all make mistakes. This was a mistake. We'll see what happens going forward.
Well, and the way he can redeem himself from that mistake is to get sandwiched with James Edwards at the Trump Tower and take on new advisors that will give him common sense advice. What piece of advice have I given that's not absolutely down the line as common sense as you can get, James?
I haven't heard anything yet.
I'm saying, you know what? Reject the media. They're clowns. Don't attack people on personal issues that become a sideshow. Stick with principle. Stick with national security. Stick with the Republican platform. Stick with the pro-life Christian-based issues, the family-based issues. Stand on solid ground. Don't do clown stuff, but just solidly deliver the facts and just hammer. You will win. You will do very well. America will love you. Make America first. He can do all those things, but he's listening to the wrong advisors, James. That's the problem.
Well, we'll see what happens between now and November. Maybe we'll still get that call. We'll just see. I'm sure the media would love to report on it.
But I'll even buy the blue-collar billionaire lunch. I'm as poor as a church mouse compared to this guy, but I'll buy him lunch.
All right, you heard it there, Donald, and surely y'all are listening. As much as press as they've gotten because of us, surely they must listen every Saturday night and every weekday to Liberty Roundtable. Hey, but the rest of the media does, that's for sure, and they'll report to them. I know that to be a fact. Folks, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you next week here on the Political Cesspool. For Sam Bushman, Keith Alexander, the rest of my crew, I'm James Edwards. Until next time, goodbye.